You're listening to Cross the Border. We're in the Gospel of Matthew here at chapter 24, a very controversial chapter because of the prophetic aspect of it. Now we start out, the disciples ask him several questions, of course, prompted by his exclamation that the temple would be destroyed, not one stone would be left upon the other. So they ask him an exact question: when shall these things be? Of course, referring to the destruction of the temple. And they broaden their question way out with several more to tell us when these things shall be. And then they say, what is the sign of thy coming? And finally they broaden it way out to the end of the world. So, now, Yahshua, you'll notice he doesn't go, well, let me answer the first part. As to the destruction of the temple, he doesn't take it point by point here. And so I think that there could be a lot of confusion and people could construe things to be whatever they want them to be. I think we got to use a little sense here. First of all, I think we should just go through and read the whole thing as it is. Of course, he's talking to the disciples privately. He's taking them away from the crowds. We know that from the context. But we also know that it's recorded for us here. So a lot of this is for our ears, too, or for our eyes to read. So we have to take that into consideration also. So let's continue here. He says, take no heed, no man. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. You hear wars and rumors of wars. And we find that all of these things that he's telling them about were contemporary to the disciples. They were coming on in the future very, very quickly. A lot of these things were happening between the time that he left them to finish the Daniel 70th week out ministering to the nation Israel because of the 70 weeks which were determined for national Israel. And then after that, the gospel goes to the Gentiles. So we see the part where, they shall kill you, shall be hated of all nations. So for all of all the ethnos, let's take a look at the word nation there. And yes, it is the same one, translated Gentile in other places in the scripture. So you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. So that expands it beyond Israel to the other nations. Like I said here, if you look up the word nations, and that's why sometimes where it says Gentiles, I'll say nations, but here you shall be hated of all the Gentiles for my name's sake also. So he's expanding it. This answer is being now expanded beyond the immediate Israel, beyond the nation of Israel, to all of the nations. Okay? So take that into consideration when understanding that. And also that it perhaps may expand it to beyond the 12 disciples to the disciples that would come up after and witness for him. For instance, those of us that are engaged in ministry today or have been engaged in ministry from that time through history until today, because we see all of these things apply to all of those people for all of that time from then until now. So let's continue here. And he goes, and then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. So he's talking about the instances where this rises up, where people are being delivered up to be afflicted. Well, this happened through the so-called Inquisition. This happens in some nations today, in the Sudan, where it's, convert or die. The same kind of thing. People are turning against each other. There are a lot of false prophets. So you see all of these things go. I mean, have been going on since then. They were going on then. Of course, this is what they had to look forward to then. And this is what we have had to look forward throughout all history. We've seen this unfold not in one specific time, but throughout history up to today, and we can expect to see this continue in the future because we have the iron mixed with clay, if you understand what that means. And listen to what he says. And then many shall be offended. And to be offended by the gospel, well, we discussed that, especially like, you know, when he was talking about the parable of the sower, many are offended, right? That means they leave off the gospel and turn away from it. So many are offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. It's been going on. It went on then. It's going on now. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Well, that's been going on. Iniquity is abounding. And it has been abounding throughout the history since Christ. So we see that also. And he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. So now he's answering a question of when the end is going to come. And this gospel will preach to all the world for a witness unto all nations, then shall the end come. Well, what about the nations that didn't exist then? See, now, we talked about the modern-day Sadducees. I call them hyper-preterists because they believe that the resurrection happened in 70 A.D., which means they don't believe in a future resurrection of the dead. Very sad. But they take this verse, and they say, well, he was just talking about the nations around Israel that existed then. But that doesn't include all. That's all that existed then. He didn't say all of the nations that are existing now. He didn't qualify it. He said all. So if he says all, that means all, and that's all means, which includes all nations in the future too. Why would they be excluded? Why would we exclude every nation that rose up, and every ethnos and nation and state that rose up after 70 AD? Why would we exclude them? Well, we'd have to exclude them if the resurrection already happened. So we just throw that out. Forget the modern day Sadducees. I haven't been hearing too much. I think they're becoming more unpopular all the time because, if there's no resurrection, what's the point? I mean, I'm sure all the heathen and all the atheists will be glad to hear that. They don't have to worry about that. Whew, we can do whatever we want. And perhaps that gives the modern-day Sadducees license to do whatever they want because they don't have to worry about a resurrection. And they're probably universalists, too, that they believe there is no hell or punishment for anyone. It's part of the universalist doctrine, so they're kind of universalists. Okay, so we left off here. Ah, yes. Many false prophets shall rise, shall deceive many, verse 12 of chapter 24, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. What's the end? And what is it, what do we have to endure till the end? But he that endureth till the end shall be saved. Well, okay, well, what do we have to endure? Well, we have to endure the abounding of iniquity, the love of many waxing cold. We have to endure all of this. We have to endure earthquakes, famines, pestilences. We have to endure affliction, death. They shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations. These are all the things that we have to endure till the end. Till the end of what? Well, these things are only going to happen during our mortal existence. Because in the resurrection, we have all the promises that promise that none of these things will be there. That there will be no suffering or sorrow. And all tears will be wiped away. There will be no hunger. There will be no lame. There will be no blind. So we only can endure these things during our mortal existence. And so we have to endure till the end. Till the end of what? Well, to the end of our mortal existence. Come on. Is there another way to interpret this? But he that endures till the end shall be saved. The same shall be saved. Once saved, always saved. Wait a minute. If I'm once saved, always saved, why do I have to endure to the end to be saved? What's wrong with Yahshua? What's wrong with Jesus here? Jesus must be preaching a bad doctrine because it doesn't jibe with the modern day corporate doctrine of once saved, always saved. So who's right? Is the once saved, always saved doctrine right? Or is Yahshua right here by saying, he who endures to the end, the same shall be saved? Because what are we saved from? You know, when we talk about salvation, what are we saved from? We're saved from the punishment due for our sins. When does that occur? At the end of our mortality. So we're not saved until then. Now, I don't want to argue semantics. I'm just reading the word here. It's what it says. They have their doctrine, once saved, always say, well, I'm saved, and all that stuff, and they want to argue about it. Well, I don't want to argue about it. Just let me read the sentence. This is what the Messiah said. Either he's right or you're right. Who should I follow, you or him? Who should I believe, you or him? I'll believe his doctrine. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. So what does it mean to endure? It means to not give in. It means to persist, to walk in his kingdom. Because listen to what he says. And this gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom. No other gospel. No pie in the sky when you die gospel. It isn't the gospel if you get to go to heaven when you die. The gospel that he preached was the gospel of the kingdom. And he said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This gospel of the kingdom. So if we want to know what the gospel of the kingdom is, we look at the gospel that he preached. The gospel of the kingdom that he preached was, repent, for the kingdom is at hand. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, the gospel of the kingdom. He said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in this mortality, as it is in heavenly places. As it is in heaven, where our Heavenly Father has absolute rule and only his will is done. The gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And that includes all the nations today. Because he didn't just say all nations that are existing now or up until 70 AD, and then the end shall come, because that's what the preterists like to say, that the end happened in 70 AD, and that this is the New Jerusalem. That's right. How do you like it? This is the New Jerusalem. Uh-huh. Yes, how do you like it? There's no pain, no suffering, no sorrow. He didn't really stub your toe. It almost sounds, what do you call it, those other gospels? It almost sounds Gnostic, doesn't it? You know, it almost sounds Christian Science-like. Oh, that didn't really happen. It's not important. You're not really feeling that pain. No. Those are really tears of sorrow coming out of your eyes. Can't go for that. This is reality. The reality is all of these things that we have to endure. He was telling the truth. He says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. So basically, he answers their last question first. That's the way I read it here. Because they asked him about the end of the world, didn't they? So he says, then shall the end come. He says, so he kind of answers their last question first. So now he's speaking, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Well, what was the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet? Well, there was an abomination which made it desolate once, and it was standing in the holy place. So the abomination that made it desolate was a foreign army coming in and destroying the temple, destroying the city, and taking all of the inhabitants captive or killing them. Happened once. And that's really where we have to look to understand what is being said here. And Daniel said it was going to happen again. That's right. So he tells them to look to Daniel the prophet. Well, to understand a future prophecy, well, we see, did anything like that happen before in history that we can look to? Do we have a clue? Well, yes, we do. And it's going to happen again. He says, when you see it, and he continues, let's continue here. Therefore, you know, in light of all these things I just told you about the end of the world, therefore, when you see, you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And, you know, I believe that this was for, that the whoso readeth, let him understand, was added for the people in that day, for this specific prophecy that he's giving to them, which is going to be recorded. And a lot of people are going to read this before it happens, before the desolation that was determined comes upon Jerusalem. Because if they read it and they understand, they get to escape what is coming upon Jerusalem and Judea. Because that's exactly what he tells them to do. Listen to this. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, this is the sign spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Of course, he's referring to the temple. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. So he's telling them, because he knows what's coming. And we can look back in history. We can see what happened. And that's the purpose of prophecy. The main purpose of prophecy is so that we can read the Word of God. We can see that what he said was going to come to pass came to pass after it comes to pass. So we can be assured that the things that have not come to pass will come to pass in the future, and we can be assured of the promises also. The Word of God and the prophecies were given to us to build our faith. I can look back and I can see that the things that he foretold when he said, not one stone, this is what, you know, precipitated their questions, which he has answered here. He answered the first question last. Now he seems to be answering the first question last, because he answered the last question first. He says, when you see it, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, they could go back. They knew what the abomination of that made it desolate was, that destroyed the temple, because it happened in the past. Daniel foretold it was going to happen again. So they knew what the sign meant. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And he's speaking to them because he knew what was coming, that Rome was finally going to be fed up because of the abominations of Israel to the Heavenly Father. He raises up. He gives them a grace period. He gives a grace period for the gospel to spread, for those people to grow in the faith, perhaps nurture up people, you know, children. I mean, we got 40 years to go here. You know, young people that would grow up believing in the Messiah. You know, Hebrew Israelites growing up believing in the Messiah. And then we have Paul, who after the 70th week took the gospel to the Gentiles. That was his commission. He was the apostle to the nations. But something was going to happen in the land of Israel. And they knew these prophecies and they understood them. And that's why they fled. Because when Rome came in, they killed just about everyone. And whoever lived was taken as a slave and sold. The desolation was complete. So he says, and he's telling them the urgency when you see it happening. When you see the Romans going into the temple, when you see it. Because the Babylonians went into the temple. They sacked the temple. They stole the implements. They tore the temple down. And they took all the people. They killed them. And they took them slaves. The same thing was going to happen again. When you see this sign, he says the urgency. It is so urgent that you leave when you see it, because it's going to come like a flood. He says, if you're in Judea, Flee to the mountains. If you're on your housetop, don't go in to take anything out. Just flee. If you're in the field, don't go back to your house to take your clothes. Flee. This is the urgency he's telling them when you see these things. And woe to them with our child, that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, because it's difficult to travel with a suckling. He's saying, grab the babies and run. That's right, it's going to be hard. But this is the urgency of the day that is coming upon Judea and Jerusalem when the desolation comes in like a flood. He's warning them. That's why they were to understand. And see, we have to put our mindset back that everyone wants to read these prophecies as if they were written to 20th century or 21st century, corporate Christians. That's a mistake. Especially the Gospel of Matthew. Let's not make that mistake in rightly dividing and discerning the Word of God. Let's not pretend that it was written to us. It was written to them. A lot of it applies to us. A lot of it is applicable. And as we go through that, we see that. And it's obvious. But he's writing this to them in those days and for their families and for their posterity that would come up in that 40 years. A lot of them had little children. We're coming to Yahuwah. We're coming to the Messiah. A lot of Hebrew Israelites, thousands of them, were accepting the Messiah. And they were raising up families. We had 40 years to go here before the Romans come in like a flood and destroy the city and the temple. It says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, a lot of people think, well, the tribulation that could come on the world today will be much greater than that, so this must be talking about a different tribulation time. Well, I'll tell you, if you were there, and finally, because of they were held up in Jerusalem, and they held the city, and the women, and they were eating their own children. They were eating leather because there was no food and there was no way out because they couldn't escape. And they fought until there was nothing left. And they were all dead or taken captive. That's how terrible it was. Just because there's guns and tanks today doesn't mean that the tribulation is going to be worse. That whatever tribulation, no. If you're going through it, it doesn't matter. They were going through the worst thing that had come upon Israel. It was worse than what happened when Babylon sacked it. And it was worse than anything that's going to happen to anyone until he comes again. And that's all we have time for today. So we're going to spend probably the whole next session of Cross the Border on Matthew chapter 24, because it is so important to understand this, especially in light of all the prophets for profit out there today. Okay, we'll see you next time. Hallelujah.